Tiranam ki jai navaditam ki jai Jagannathaswami ki jai Yumonamai ki jai Shimali dalasade ki jai Samaveda bhakta vrinda ki jai Gaur pranganana ki jai All glories ye son of the devotees. All glories ye son of the devotees. All glories ye son of the devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Gaur, Prinananda, Hare Krishna. So, today we're starting a new chapter, in the Bhagavatam at least, 8th Canto, Chapter 17, and we'll read the chapter summary first. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So chapter 17 is entitled, The Supreme Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son. So chapter summary is as follows. As explained in this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being very pleased by the Payovrata ceremony performed by Aditi, appeared before her in full opulence. At her request, the Lord agreed to become her son. After Aditi performed the Payovrata ceremony for 12 continuous days, the Lord, who was certainly very pleased with her, appeared before her with four hands and dressed in yellow garments. As soon as Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead present before her, she immediately got up and with great ecstatic love for the Lord, she fell to the ground to offer respectful obeisances. Aditi's throat was choked because of ecstatic feelings, and her entire body trembled with devotion. Although she wanted to offer suitable prayers to the Lord, she could not do anything, and thus she remained silent for some time. Then, feeling solace, observing the beauty of the Lord, she offered her prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of all living entities, was very pleased with her, and he agreed to become her son by incarnating as a plenary expansion. He was already pleased by Kashyapa Muni's austerities, and thus he agreed to become their son and maintain the demigods. After giving his word of honor to this effect, the Lord disappeared. Following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aditi engaged in the service of Kashyapa Muni, who could see by samadhi that the Lord was within him, and who thus placed his semen in the womb of Aditi. Lord Brahma, who was known as Haranyagarbha, understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had entered Aditi's womb. Thus, he offered prayers to the Lord. So we read text one. Shri Shubhu Vajja Iti Ukta Saddhiti Rajan Swa Avartra Kashapena Vai Anu Atishtad Vratam Hiram Dvadashaham Atandrita. Shri Shugo Vacha It yukta sarita rajam. Swavatra kashyapena vai. Anvatishtad rikam hidam. Vadashaham matandrita. Shishigurvacha ityukta sadati rajan swavatra kashyapena vai vatishtad vatam hidam vadashaham tantrita shri shikurvacha ityukta sarati rajan swabhatra kashapena vai Anvatishtad vatong hidang Vadashaham tandrita Again.
Shishubhavacha Shishubhavacha Yityukta satiti raja
Yityukta satiti raja
Babatra kashya pena vai
Babatra kashya pena vai
Anvatishtad vatong hidang Shri Shukruvacha
Shri
Shukadev Goswami said Iti thus Ukta been advised Sa that lady Adittihi Aditi Rajan okay Svabhartra by her husband Kashyapena Kashyapa Muni Vai indeed Anu similarly Atishtat executed Vratam Hidam this Payovrata ritualistic ceremony Dvadasha Aham for 12 days Atandrita, without any laziness. So, translation, Shukadeva Goswami said, okay, after Aditi was thus advised by her husband, Kashyapa Muni, she strictly followed his instructions without laziness, and in this way performed the Payovrata ritualistic ceremony. Repeat. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, after Aditi was thus advised by her husband Kashyapa Muni, she strictly followed his instructions without laziness, and in this way performed the Payovrata ritualistic ceremony. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai. For advancement in anything, especially in spiritual life, one must strictly follow the bona fide instructions of the teacher. Aditi did this. She strictly followed the instructions of her husband and guru. As confirmed in the Vedic injunctions, yasya devi para bhakti ritha devi tata guru. One should have complete faith in the Guru who helps the disciple make progress in spiritual life. As soon as the disciple thinks independently, not caring for the instructions of the spiritual master, he is a failure. Yasya prasadan na gati kato pi. Aditi very strictly followed the instructions of her husband and spiritual master, and thus she was successful. So, Sri Shukravacha ityuktva upta sadatati rajan swabhatra kashapena voi onvatishta vatanghi nang dvarasahum atandata. So, Om Gana Timranda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksuru Meditam Gena Tasmai Shivadeva Namaha. So a little history before we actually talk about the subject matter of this verse and purport. A little history, of course, is we're dealing with the Vedic system where we mentioned yesterday that the husband is the natural guru of the wife, and the wife in the Vedic system, and of course, if we had the ideal situation today, the wife follows the husband's footsteps like this and serves the husband. Although there are injunctions that this is only the case where the husband is not fallen. You have the story of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's daughter, and his daughter was married to this gentleman named Amoga. And the Amoga committed offenses against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because he committed offenses against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that his daughter no longer had a husband. In other words, his daughter's name was Sati. Sati no longer has a husband because the husband was fallen. So it's not that one serves someone who is fallen because it happens to be the Vedic injunction that, you know, the wife serves the husband. Now, insofar as the marriage situation is concerned, both are supposed to be devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada said that if a woman is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then her association is purifying. It's not something like you find described in many cases in the Vedic literatures that the wife is considered to be, or attachment to the wife is considered to be the dark well of material existence, or attachment to the husband is the dark well of material existence. We take it from both angles of vision. But if someone is a devotee, that very self-same attachment can be purifying. In fact, Lord Kapiladev says this. Lord Kapiladev says that the same attachment that one has in the material world that binds one can be the source of liberation if the attachment is to a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of God itself. That's one point of history. Another point that we can make as far as Aditi is concerned, all these different personalities who manifest the Supreme Personality of God as their son, they're all expansions of Nanda and Yashoda in Goloka Vrindavan. You know, whether we have Vasudeva and Devaki or any of the different mothers and fathers, this is described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In fact, they're all expansions of Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj. Just like you have Srimati Radharani and all the goddesses of fortune and all the wives of Krishna, they're all expansions of Srimati Radharani. They're all the Shakti Tattvas. So it's not just that, let's say, if I wouldn't say Gokulendra, but because he's not married. But let's say if someone was married, they want to have God as their child. They have to be a very special person. They have to be at least the powered expansions of these two personalities, Vasudeva and Devaki. I mean, Nanda and Yashoda. Like Krishna and Sutapta. And there's so many injunctions about this. So Aditi is not just an ordinary, even heavenly society goddess who simply wants to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son. I mean, she's a special person. personality. We should remember that. Just like it's described that if one goes back to the spiritual world, if one goes back to the spiritual world, it's not that you're going to become Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj. You can have that paternal or maternal relationship with Krishna, but not in the position of Nanda Maharaj or Mother Yashoda. You can assist them. You can be one of the elderly gopis, if you like, and assist in that way. And certainly, just like you won't become one of the Astasakis. This is impersonalism, Prabhupada said. To become one of these personalities, we can assist the personality. We can assist Mother Yashoda, or assist the different groups of mothers, just like there's different groups of gopis working under different headings or different, just a different personalities, like the Astasakis, and they have their groups and subgroups. And so you can work in that particular way. So, okay, getting back to the point in this particular verse and purport, this is a point that Srila Prabhupada makes very often, and Srila Prabhupada, of course, is following in the footsteps of the Acharya, specifically of Srila Rupa Goswami. And in Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar Devotion, he gives the five essential items in advancing in devotional service in relationship to the spiritual master, because here the topic is spiritual master. And I want to read these five items. The first one, of course, is one should take shelter of a spiritual master. The second one is one should take initiation from the spiritual master and learn about devotional service. And learning about devotional service, which I sort of mentioned yesterday, also means that the spiritual master gives one instructions according to the disciple's psychophysical nature. This is one of the problems with the Ritvik philosophy. With the Ritvik philosophy, you can't really get instructions, at least you get general instructions, obviously, from Prabhupada. The general instructions are always there. Chant Hare Krishna, be dedicated to his mission, follow the rules and regulations, you know, engage in Dadati Pratigurunati, Guyo Makyati Krichati, loving exchange. I mean, these are general instructions, but as far as specific instructions, they're different for each and every person. Just like recently I was listening to some Prabhupada, practically every day, listening to some Prabhupada memories, and I was hearing how Prabhupada dealt with, maybe I should mention the name, anyway, with one devotee who was, anyway, it was Guru Kripa, who was, anyway, he has a different type of personality than everyone else. I mean, I have to be careful. And Prabhupada was just very rough with him. I mean, just a boom, like that chastise. You know, it's very interesting. Whereas with other devotees, you know, Prabhupada was very soft. Interesting, Guru Kripa would give Prabhupada sometimes like really large donations. And, you know, the first time he gave Prabhupada the big donation, we're talking about 100,000. Then Prabhupada said thank you. The other times Prabhupada basically ignored him when he gave it. So Prabhupada was actually trying to, in every case with all the devotees, helping the devotee advance. And sometimes that means not praising the devotee, and sometimes it means praising the devotee. Because the Prabhupada wants to reduce the devotee's false ego and wants to increase the devotee's devotion. So it requires like personal interaction. So the problem with the Ritvik philosophy is you don't have personal interaction, of course, unless you have some dreams. And generally, dreams should really not be trusted that much. Unless, of course, it's verified by the Vaishnavas, you know, that by the spiritual master, yes, it was me in the dream, and I did this. You know, sometimes a disciple will say to the spiritual master, and we've experienced this, that last night or, you know, last month, Gurudev, you told me to do this, and I said, no, I would never tell you to do that. So, they have this, let's say, Maya spiritual master, who's in the dream. So anyway, so it's necessary. So initiation, the second principle, nectar devotion, is once you take initiation, learn how to serve Krishna. And three is to obey with faith. The spiritual master, of course, there's this verse which Prabhupada doesn't quote here, but it's quoted probably elsewhere in this particular chapter. Yasha devi para bhakti yata devi tada guru pashayate katitari artha prakashante mahatmana. One who has implicit faith in the spiritual master and the supreme personality, God, and the Vedic literatures, then everything's revealed to him. Wow, that's pretty interesting. Yasha devi para bhakti yata devi tada guru. Yasya Devi, if one has faith in the spiritual master, faith in Krishna, faith in the Vedic literatures, such a great soul, everything is revealed. So that's, faith is very important. Number four principle is to follow in the footsteps of great acharyas under the direction or being given the direction of the spiritual master. That's number four, the principle number four. In other words, we approach the great acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottama Das Thakur, Srinivasa Acharya, or what to speak of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, but under the guidance, under the umbrella, under the shelter of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and our spiritual master. And the fifth principle is we inquire from the spiritual master how to advance in devotional service. So these are essential items. You know, inquire, how can I make advancement in devotional service? And I want to read from the fourth canto, part four of Srimad Bhagavatam, of course. Now, fourth canto, part four is part two. Because I always say fourth canto, part four, but that's when the fourth canto had four parts to it. Remember the old days. But nowadays, the fourth canto has two parts. So, fourth canto, part two, in chapter 28. And this is a very instructive part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, this is the story of Malaya Dwaja. And lamenting over the departure of her husband, and Paranjana, of course. And this parallel is given as concerning the spiritual master leaving the planet and the disciple lamenting over the departure of the spiritual master. So this Prabhupada is very speaks very elaborately in these purports. And in fact, these purports are something that most of us read extensively in 1977 when Prabhupada disappeared. I mean, if anyone's, any of the Prabhupada disciples here, we have several Prabhupada disciples here, would remember when Prabhupada disappeared, this is the part of the Bhagavatam we read the most. So, of course, the metaphor is that the spiritual master, the relationship with the spiritual master and disciple, is compared to the relationship of the husband and the wife. Of course, not that the spiritual master is the husband of the disciple, but the same sort of chastity, guidance, and dedication to the mission is inculcated in this part of the Bhagavatam. And let's look at a little bit of the Vedic history. In the Vedic history, of course, the wife is so dedicated to the mission or the service of the husband. And this is not a romantic thing per se. This is basically accepting the husband as spiritual master. That when the husband would pass away, the wife in many cases would voluntarily embrace the fire. Unless she could carry out the service of the husband. Of course, we have that story of Kunti Devi and Madri when Pandu passed away. There was some discussion whether Kunti Devi should leave with Pandu or voluntarily embrace the fire with Pandu, or Madri should do it. Eventually, it was decided that Madri should do it, and then there was a reason, because she would not be equal to all the Pandavas. She would consider her friends to be, her, not friends, but her sons, to be the first priority.
So Kunti decided to stay, and Manji decided to leave. That is, leave in the funeral pyre of her husband, Pandu. So the reason for that, Kunti staying, was that Kunti could be equal to all the Pandavas, and Kunti was carrying out the mission of Pandu. So she was just very dedicated to the mission of Pandu. I mean, this loyalty, this dedication should be instituted in all of society. And we're not just talking about the guru-spiritual master relationship, but you know, even the friendship that devotees have, the loyalty to each other. What do they say? A friend in need is a friend indeed. So all over society, this sort of dedication or even vow, but it's deeper than a vow, because many times you can take a vow and it doesn't really go to your heart. Like Grandfather Bhishma took a vow to support the Kuru dynasty, but he wasn't into it. You understand? He had to support Dhritarashtra because he had made that promise. He was into his vow, but it really didn't go deep. It was something that wasn't, you know, it was against his moral principles, his ethical principles, and he should have actually broken the vow. So, but in the Vedic system, one's relationships, loyalty, goes deeper than just promises. It's just like, it's deep. It's a deep, loyal, I mean, for lack of a better word, you know, just like, it's the very essence of life in the Vedic culture. It's commitment. It's the essence of life. That you just committed to the other person. And of course, originally in the West, you know, I guess they may still say that during the marriage, you know, what their happiness and distress is like the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Till death do you part. Yeah, it's almost like a verse from the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And happiness and distress, you know, pleasure and pain, winter and summer seasons. Doesn't say all that, of course. But basically, that's it. It's a dedication. And that's love. And that sort of love, or loving exchanges, or loving relationships, or if you say loving commitments, need to be instituted in our Krishna consciousness movement. I mean, you can't just force people, but needs to be instituted if we actually want to make substantial advancement in carrying out Srila Prabhupada's mission. Anyway, so apart from that, I am going to read part of Srila Prabhupada's purport about the relationship with the spiritual master and disciple upon the... it's 4th Canto, chapter 28, text 51. I believe it's 51. It's in the middle of the purport. And then also the part of the purport of 52. It's like, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Fourth paragraph. In conclusion, nonetheless, if one sticks to the principles enunciated by the spiritual master, somehow or other, he is in association with the Supreme Personality of God, and since the Lord is in the heart, he can advise a disciple from within. And then skipping ahead. In conclusion, if a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Vani or Vapu. This is the only secret of success. And I'm just going to read that again. This is the only secret of success. Only means probably ain't no other one. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, if one instead sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. And that's that one. Let's see. And then in the middle of the purport for text 52... when the Brahmin asked the woman who the man lying on the floor was, she answered that he was her spiritual master and that she was perplexed about what to do in his absence. At such a time, the Supersoul immediately appears, provided the devotee is purified in heart by following the directions of the spiritual master. A sincere devotee who follows the instructions of the spiritual master certainly gets direct instructions from his heart, from the Supersoul. So, also, that's all I'm going to read from that. Also, making reference to 241 in the Bhagavad Gita. Vyavasayatmaka buddhira keha guranandana. Famous verse. Those who are on this path are one pointed, and their determination is one. Those who are not, their intelligence is many branched, making reference to the 241. Prabhupada was reading the purport to this particular verse, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purport. And in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purport, he makes reference to the spiritual master, the dedication or the focus on following the order of the spiritual master. And you see that this was Prabhupada's, I would say, primary focus. I mean, because I'm not going to guess about Prabhupada's internal life, what he was doing. But at least externally, you can see that Prabhupada's primary focus was following the order of the spiritual master. And the reason that Prabhupada, apart from being Shaktabhas Shalvatara sent down by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, but the reason Prabhupada was successful is that he took the order of his spiritual master, Chumbhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, as his very life and soul. And because he took that, even though that same order was given to basically all the disciples of Chumbhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, because Prabhupada took that order as his life and soul, he was successful. And as Prabhupada said, the success potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is contained within the order of the spiritual master. And so we can say objectively, scientifically, that Prabhupada was the most prominent disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I mean, of course, as many of his disciples were great pure devotees, and you know, we respect them and worship them. But Prabhupada's position is completely unique because of his dedication to the order of the spiritual master, which was given to every single disciple who spoke English and was able to come to the West. So then the next question arises is that how do we get that dedication to following the order of the spiritual master, the dedication to the mission of the spiritual master? And traditionally, the way that one gets that dedication was called Gurukula. You know, Brahmachari, Gurukule, Vasandanta Gurorhitam, Archyan, Dasavanda, Cho. In other words, one is trained in that way. And I remember in my own early days in Krishna consciousness, this was before anyone here was born, that this is how we were trained. You know, we had to sleep on the floor. Remember that? You know, literally sleep on the floor with 30 other people, wake up early in the morning, not eat unless the spiritual master, unless the temple president, who was the representative of the spiritual master, called us. I mean, it was real discipline. It's like when one joins the army or navy, there's basic training. You know, go to Camp Lejeune, right? The Marines at Camp Lejeune, and then you have survival training, isn't it? They put you out in the woods, and I guess you have to eat bugs for about 2 weeks. And so we didn't have that sort of training because we ate prasadam all the time. But it was the training we got in Krishna consciousness. It was so wonderful. I mean, it was hard in the beginning, as they say. It's like poison in the beginning, like nectar at the end, right? So it was hard in the beginning, but that sort of carries us, you know, so many of the prophet disciples have joined in that in those early days. That sort of carries us to the rest of our Krishna consciousness, because then the focus is, you know, dedication to Prabhupada. So the question is, of course, we can't have that sort of training now that the majority of the people joining the Krishna consciousness movement are from Grahastashram. But if someone reads Prabhupada's books and dedicates their home
in the same way, and especially gets into the preaching mission. Because that, talking about pleasing Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada was pleased, not with some, how many verses you learned, or how austere you were, even though we were quite austere, you know, sleeping on the floor, so many people in the room, sharing clothes with so many people. Prabhupada would never be pleased if he went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm sleeping on the floor, are you pleased with me? You know, I don't think Prabhupada would be pleased with that. Or Prabhupada, you know, I just ate one gulab jamun a week. Because I wasn't able to refrain from eating gulab jamuns. But anyway, so Prabhupada would be pleased. What trains one up is actually the repeating words of Prabhupada, the preaching Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada actually insisted or instructed that that was the business of the grahasthas. You know, when people got married, sometimes they would ask Prabhupada a question. And, you know, generally a question was about intimate life because everybody's romantic. You know, what's the relationship between husband and wife? They go to Prabhupada and say, you know, can I kiss her? You know, they wouldn't ask that directly, obviously. But they say, you know, what do we do now? You know, we don't have any instructions. You know, it's like getting a new mobile phone without instructions or a computer without instructions. So Prabhupada said that is one particular instance, and several instances like this. Prabhupada said, before you eat, if anyone's hungry, you go and you cry out 3 times. Please come and eat. You know, if anyone's hungry, please come and eat. And so that doesn't mean literally you do that. You have to understand the intention. The intention is to distribute prasad. You preach to people. You distribute books, just like here in New Goloka. Our book distribution is being done, you know, 99% by people who have jobs and married. So this is the brahmacharya training. You know, they're learning that by preaching Krishna consciousness, by distributing spiritual literature, by serving Prabhupada's mission. So that's really the essence of the training. And then when one has that particular mood, then one sees the super soul, one gets directions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and perfection is easily achieved. There was another quote I was going to read. I don't know where I put that. That part of this. It says, I don't know where is that. Anyway, there's, I took so many notes. Anyway, doesn't matter. It was, anyway, there was another quote, and it's time to end the class now. Any questions or comments?
When you were saying, explain about Guru Kripa, someone giving some money to the Shilpa.
Yeah.
I didn't catch what Shilpa was.
Well, the first time Prabhupada said thank you. Second time, after that, Prabhupada didn't even acknowledge it. Why? I mean, Prabhupada was always thankful. But he acted in such a way as to not increase his disciples' false ego. So Prabhupada's interactions, or the Guru's interactions, is the point I was making. Sorry if I didn't make it so clearly. Were always very personal. You know, in regard, it wasn't like Prabhupada acted the same way with each and every disciple. Every single disciple got a different type of action. Some disciples probably would pat him on the head.
Guru Kripa was tough.
He was tough. Yeah, I didn't want to say that. Yeah,
no, he's a,
this goes
on. He had been a Marine.
Yeah. So, he needed tough love. And he makes that point, actually. And that's what he got. So Prabhupada, that's the whole point. Prabhupada was personal.